Okay, the question I'm going to ask you tonight, have you ever entertained an angel unaware? You know, I think probably more of us have done that than we think. But let's go to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13:1 says, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. You ever think about that? You think about people that you meet that you don't know who they are, where they come from, or anything else, and they very well may be angels that you were entertaining unaware. Now then, let's look at some things that angels do for us. Let's go here to 1 Kings 19. I want you to see what this angel did for this man. In 1 Kings 19, verse 5, and it says, as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water and at his head, and he did eat and drink, and he laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. And he arose, and he did eat and drink, and he went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. Now then, that angel must have fed him some good stuff, because he made it 40 days and 40 nights. You know, so that'd take a pretty good meal for most of us, wouldn't it? That'd take a pretty good meal. But the angel cooked, and the angel cooked for him two meals. So you never know what these guys may do for you, do you? See, there's all kinds of examples in the Word of God where that angels do wonderful things for us. They help us a lot of times that we don't even know, and many times we will look at them and we think about an angel being a magnificent being of grandeur with big wings and all these kind of things. Well, there are cherubs like that, but many angels look just exactly like you and I do. With the exception, there's never a female. They're always male. Always male. There's not one example in the Word of God where there's a female angel. Females were only made for man on the earth, but there is none of them in the angelic host. It's amazing, but how many times do you see pictures and angels, and they're always women? You ever notice that? Isn't that strange? Since it's not in the Word of God, I thought how strange that was, that so many of the little idols and things that people make about angels are always women. Do you think angels, do you think they have to eat? You ever stop to think about that? Well, let's look and see here in Genesis 19. Let's go from 1 Kings 19 to Genesis 19. Genesis 19, verse 3. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and they did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. So here in Genesis 19, 3, the angels ate. And then in Psalm 78, 25, it says, man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. Man ate angels' food? Isn't that amazing? God even prepares things for his angels, doesn't he? He has a special food for his angels. And man, in Psalm 78:25, man did eat angels' food. So, I guess when we say we ate an angel food cake, I guess we could say we're eating angel food, huh? Amen. That's good stuff, right? Ain't nothing wrong with that. But, see, there is a true type of food that angels eat. But, you know, I guess we just don't think about those beings being like us, that they eat. But they do. God's prepared for them the food and things for them to eat also. And then in Psalms 91, verse 9, it says, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. I like that, don't you, Sherry?
Amen.
Now then, what is the requirements for him to do that? You've got to make him, the Most High God, your habitation or your dwelling place. Now then, if you dwell over there with the Lord and you serve him, it would be like if you were, if you had a great and awesome daddy, you know, if we were children and we had a great and awesome daddy, if we were in our daddy's house and we were loving dad and doing everything, of course, dad would love us if he was a good man. He would love us and he would send people to protect us if it was so needed. I think about the little boy one time that he went to school, and on the way to school, it's just like every day, two or three big bullies would gang up on him and steal his lunch money and steal his lunch from him and all kinds of things. This little boy was so afraid of these guys. He just, you know, he just got to where he didn't want to take a lunch, didn't want to go to school, didn't want to do anything. So one day, Daddy asked him, son, what's wrong? He said, well, Dad, these two or three big old boys, they beat up on me every day. And he said, well, no problem. He said, I'll take you to school. So Dad walks down the way with him, and he sees the two bullies, and the little boy can just stand up there and hold his lunch down there and hold his chest out and just look at him and smile as he goes by, because he knows Daddy is right here beside him. And he knows them three little bullies over there ain't no match for Daddy. That's just like I got an email yesterday from a man. He said, Thurman, since I've met you and in your ministry, he said, I have learned the word. I'm studying it. I'm memorizing. I'm hiding in my heart. He said, I asked the Lord yesterday morning, Lord, what scripture should I memorize today? And he said, I don't know whether I've heard you say it so many times or it was just me or it was the Lord, but I heard so clear in my spirit, Luke 10:19. So he said, I said, okay. So I wrote down Luke 10:19 and 20 on a flashcard. I read it, put it in my shirt, and I started running. He said, I'd run a while, then I'd stop, take that, and look at it again, make sure I got it right, and I'm reading it again. He said, I've been running quite a while, and I'm coming around the corner, and out of a yard come a great big Rottweiler. And I mean, he was headed right at me, teeth showing. He said, I just stopped and screamed at him, in the name of Jesus. And he said, as soon as I did, the dog stopped dead in his tracks and turned and went back in the yard. He said, and nothing shall by any means hurt me. You see what happens when you learn the word, right? That was why the Lord knew that he needed to learn that promise that day so he could stand on the word of God so that that big old Rottweiler wouldn't bite him. Now then, we have been given this kind of power over the earth and over everything on it as long as you got the word hidden in your heart. You don't have to be afraid of anything, do you? Nothing, absolutely nothing. Because if you make the Most High God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, your dwelling place, and you hide in him and dwell in him and meditate with him and love him and worship him and praise him and thank him, and you're absolutely walking in obedience to his word, he sent his angels along beside us. And those big guys, you can't see them. But just like right now today, right now, those of you, and I trust all of you in here, have made him, the Most High God, your dwelling place. Guess who came with you tonight? Your angels, and they're sitting around all over this room right now. If the Lord could open our eyes and we could see, some of us may have 2, 3, 4, or 5. You never know. But I can assure you, they're here, right, William? They're all over us. They're all around the place right now, sitting here. I mean, I have heard and seen and heard people talk about where that the Lord has literally opened the eyes of a congregation of people in a church for a few seconds at certain times, and they literally see angels standing everywhere. I think, isn't that awesome? Boy, wouldn't I love to be there and get to see those mighty things. But I know they're here anyway, so I don't have to see them because I know they're there. But I have had the privilege to see a few of them. So it's a wonderful thing. So if you will make the Lord your the Most High, your dwelling place, in Psalms 91:11 says, For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. That's rather comforting, isn't it? You can just say that and just be in the greatest of comfort, knowing that your Father is taking care of you. And verse 12, it says, they shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon shall you trample underfoot, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him, and I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. So it is the will of God for his children to have these angels, these magnificent beings of grandeur, to watch over us, protect us, and we are to be delivered from all of these things. There shall no sickness, no disease, no plague, none of those things shall come near to us if we'll walk in obedience to God's word. It never ceases to amaze me, the people, even in the church, that say, well, maybe it's not God's will to heal everybody every time. Doesn't that just cut you like a knife? In fact, today I had a lady call me. That's why I was almost late tonight. I just couldn't get away from this lady. I started to not answer the phone, but it was so late. But I thought, well, I'll try to get one more. And it was a lady from New Mexico. And she said, we got your tape. She said, we've been raised up in a Baptist church, but we got your tapes. We've been listening to them. And she said, the minute I listened to that first videotape, I said, that's what I've been looking for all of my life, right there. That's it. She said, it was something in my spirit, everything you said, and said, I got my Bible open, I'm reading along with you. That's what I'm looking for, right there. He said, that man's telling me the truth. I said, you know who that was confirming that? She said, yes, that's the Holy Ghost in me. I said, all right. And she said, it's amazing how people say, well, maybe it's not God's will to heal us. She said, when I heard you read and found out that God healed us on the cross 2,000 years ago, and we got to take away from the devil by force what's ours, she said, my husband and I, for the first time in our life, have learned how to pray. I said, well, really, it's not praying. And I told him about you, Sherry. I said, you know, there's a lovely lady over here that's just a few miles from here by the name of Sherry. And I said, she got a hold of these things with her husband. And I said, just recently, one of her good friends, a fireman, I said, he came down with brain tumors and everything, and they said he could not live. And I said, Sherry got rough with that devil, kicked him out of that boy, and today, I said, that man's back at work. The doctor said he'd never leave that ICU except in a casket. But I said, Sherry wasn't taking it. When she learned, she knew who the enemy was. I said, her and Dave, they kicked that devil out of that guy. And I said, today, that guy's back at work, working as a fireman again, totally healed. And so that girl, she said, man, she said, these tapes have set me on fire. And then she asked me some more questions. I said, ma'am, I don't have time to answer any more. I told her, I said, the question you've asked now is going to take very extensive teaching. So I said, I'll just send you my question and answer tape. And it's 6 hours long, and it has all your answers on it. So I didn't have 6 hours to spend with her on the phone. But anyway, praise the Lord. Now then, angels have their own tongue. Oh, isn't that strange? They have their own tongue. 1 Corinthians 13:1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, we have not love, and I have not love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. You know, we read that and we never think about what that says. So Paul says, if I speak in the tongues of men, well, how many different kinds of tongues do we know of that men has today? Wow, there's a multitude of them. I probably couldn't even guess how many there are. But I know right here in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, no telling how many different tongues that you can hear spoken. You know, I mean, there's Chinese, there's Vietnamese, there's Spanish, you know, there's Texican. That's me, you know, Texican. You know, there's American, there's English. There's every kind of slang you can imagine that's spoken. And then there's old boys in West Texas, yeah. But anyway, Paul says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and if I have not love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Do angels die? You ever think about that? Are they immortal? Well, let's see what Luke chapter 20, verse 35 says. Luke 20:35 says, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection of the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage, neither can they die any more, for they are equal unto the angels, and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. So do angels die? No. No, they're immortal. They live forever. They never die. And whenever we become the spirit man, when we release this flesh, which we have far more control over this than we ever dream, as to how long we're going to keep this flesh, when we release this flesh and we are transformed into our spirit being and lay down the third part of ourselves, the body, and just become the spirit and the soul, when we do that, then we'll be free for the first time in our life to walk through into the second heaven and the third heaven, because the second heaven is right here with us. There is a third heaven, or the first heaven is the heaven you and I are walking in right now. We see it. We feel comfortable in it. It's got air, oxygen, we breathe. But the second heaven is also right around us. And it's we step into that realm. When we step into the second heaven, that's where Satan and his hosts dwell. That's where the devil and all his demonic spirits, they live. And so they can be just right outside of your flesh in the second heaven and still be inside the first heaven. And they can transfer through that realm just anytime they want to. In other words, an angel of darkness or an angel of light, an angel of God. They're both existing right here in this room. We can't see them, but they can step through that barrier anytime they want to. When they step through that barrier, they become, look like mortal man. But both the devil can do that, or Satan and his demons can do that, as well as the angels. I mean, when these angels step through that realm, just like Jesus, when Jesus was there after his resurrection, he walked right into the room and the doors were locked and everything, and all of a sudden he was there. He ate with them and everything and put fish and honey and all that stuff in him, and then he walked right back through that realm. You ever wonder how that fish and honey walked through that wall? But it changed its characteristics somehow when it went inside of him. So him and that fish and honey all went right through that wall. So it's a pretty awesome thing when you begin to see these things and what's going on. But that spirit realm, it's awesome, but the angels, they travel at the speed of thought. You know, so there's no really time. They can travel. That's the only way they could travel to get to where they go in the length of time they do it. You could no-wise travel in the atmosphere that we know at the speeds we think about, because we think about things being fast. We think about light being fast. But light travels at 186,000 miles a second. That means that's why computers can communicate with each other all over the world virtually instantaneously. But if you ever stop to think about what kind of speed that is, 186,000 miles a second is so fast that if I could point a gun out here and pull a trigger and the bullet could travel at that speed and stay with the curvature of the earth, which it could not at that speed, but if you could, when you pulled the trigger on that gun, if you said 1,001, now then that's 1 second. If you had a big shield or something up here, a piece of paper that bullet could go through, you know how many times it would have went around the world and went through that piece of paper and back? You know how many times it would have made that lap all the way around the world in the length of time you said 1,001? You know how many times it would have went around? 7.5. It would have penetrated that sign 7 times and been halfway around the world again in 1 second. That's how fast light travels. But if you travel at that light, at that speed, the speed of light, if you travel at that speed, you could get to the closest star in our cosmos in 4 years. 4 years. So to travel at that speed, 186,000 miles a second, we don't have nothing that can even begin to approach that, do we?
Almost.
Almost. The gossip, okay. Almost, there you go. I hadn't thought about that. But it's amazing, you know, how big the cosmos is in the physical realm. When you think about it, we can't even begin to comprehend it. So God has a different way of traveling, and these angels, they travel at the speed of thought. Now then, angels, they are mighty and they're powerful. Let's go on down here and let's see. In 1 Thessalonians 1:7, 1 Thessalonians 1:7, And it says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Now, these guys are absolutely mighty. And look what he says in verse 8. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's going to be a dangerous day to those that have rebelled against the Lord. He's going to appear in mighty power, in magnificent radiance, and these mighty angels are going to be with him. I mean, these guys have, he's got many different levels and ranks of angels, but these guys have magnificent power and authority. Magnificent power and authority. They can just do things that's beyond our wildest dreams, but these things are mighty and they're powerful. And then in Revelation 18:1, it says, and after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory. You talk about a light bulb. Is that a light bulb? The whole earth is going to be lighted with the glory of an angel. These things, these guys are far bigger and more powerful than we can comprehend, aren't they? We just don't realize how magnificent these guys are. But the Lord clearly says in his word, I can do exceedingly abundantly above all you can even think or imagine. So it's time that we begin to start thinking like our king, because we're king's children. We need to not let anybody or anything in the spirit world shock us, scare us, or surprise us. We need to just realize we're children of God. We need to start thinking like the Lord. We need to realize that, hey, God came to give us power and dominion over the earth. And all the promises of God are ours. Just like Ephesians chapter 1 says in 2 Peter chapter 1, all these magnificent things of faith and this law of faith Paul talks about in Romans 3, all this stuff belongs to us as children of God. And we have allowed the enemy to beat up on us, deceive us, and everything so long. But we need to realize who we are and what we can do as sons and daughters of the King. Don't we? Yes, we most definitely do. All things are possible to those of us that believe. Nothing shall be impossible with you. That's a mouthful, isn't it? But the King said that. So, when you go to those kind of powerful things, especially when people, especially doctors of theology and stuff, as they try to pin you down on these kind of things. Well, what do you think about this? Well, I just won't touch that with a 10-foot pole, but I'll tell you what the Word says about it. And after I tell them what the Word says about it, well, but, no. That's what Jesus said, you know. Now, we got to make a decision here. Are we going to believe the King, yes or no? And so, praise the Lord. When we believe the King, we get to see Him do great and mighty things. Okay, then we go to Isaiah 37:36. Isaiah 37:36, it says, that night the angel of the Lord went out to the camp of the Assyrians and killed 185,000 soldiers. When the living awake the next morning, all these lay dead before them. Now that's happened because of one simple prayer of one king and one prophet, Elijah, as they're standing up on the wall of the temple, when King Sennacherib was standing out there, he was saying, I'm going to wipe out Jerusalem. The gods of the other countries couldn't protect them, so this God that you guys serve, he ain't going to be able to protect you either, because I'm going to come in here and wipe you out. Well, nobody else had a living God, did they? All them others were dead gods just like his. But whenever the prophet and the king, Hezekiah, prayed and said, Lord, protect us. I mean, just how many angels did he send to kill 185,000? Just one little guy. I mean, me and you probably don't need but a half a dozen, do we? Is that right? I mean, with a half a dozen of those guys, we're okay, right? That's all we need. But I mean, with one, you're in pretty good shape, right? So what should you be afraid of? What should you be afraid of? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. The daughter of the king. The son of God. Is that Don?
I don't want to get you off the base, but when you said be afraid of, over in 2 Kings, verse 6, there's a beautiful verse over there on the market. Assyrians? And I won't read the whole context, but we started with verse 14. There were horses, he hid their horses and chariots in a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, alas, my master, how shall we do?" And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with us."
Amen. Yeah.
And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened his eyes, and the young man, and he saw, behold, a mountain full of horses and chariots of fire around about.
Amen. See, so those guys are here, aren't they? They're here. Now, they were across that veil on the other side. All those guys, those angels, and they're in the heavens. I mean, they're out there. In the second heaven, that's, you might say, through the barrier, through the veil, that we can't see them. But when he prayed and asked the Lord to open his servant's eyes so he could see in that, when he did, he allowed him to see through that veil. And when he did, he saw all these magnificent chariots of fire with these big, magnificent, warring angels running through the clouds. So who could be afraid with those guys to protect you? Nobody. And you see, are they there all the time anyway? Sure they are. They're there all the time. So let's see what it says here. We talk about those. Do angels need rest? Do they have to rest? I wonder what the Word says about that. Revelation 4, verse 8. And it says, "And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they were not, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come."
Hallelujah.
Do these guys have to take a break? No. That's what we need, Dave. We need a few of them guys to work for us. They don't have to get sleep. They don't rest or nothing, so we need them on the job while we're working. Dave told Wendell the other day, he said, "Wendell, with all the tapes we're going to have to make when Thurman starts speaking up there in places, and you can't sleep no more. No more rest." And so, praise the Lord, I didn't know what God was going to do today, but I had all kinds of things to do. And I saw a station wagon, Suburban or whatever, out there at my house earlier today, and I thought, well, I don't know who that is. And so I run all over the place and came back, and it's still there. And I thought, well, I wonder if that's somebody visiting Toby or whoever it is. And I went into the ministry center, and there was Cheryl. That's her car. And she was over there putting labels on tape, boxing tape. Her and Wendell made 10 boxes. Maybe 12 or 15. Yeah, 15 boxes of tapes today and put labels on them. You know, so that's 1,500 tapes that her and Wendell made. And she said, "I'm after him." I said, "Praise God, Cheryl. Praise the Lord." I said, "I kicked him out of bed at 8:30 or quarter to 9 this morning myself." And I said, "Didn't you come along and your slave drive you?" I said, "You got something done out there today." Oh, goodness gracious. Oh, me. So anyway, it's amazing how people, when people get healed and delivered and God does all these wonderful things through your ministry, people just want to help you and love you and do everything. And I'm so grateful for what they do. Praise the King. Now then, so angels don't need to rest. Sometimes you can see them and talk to them. Isn't that amazing? Only sometimes. In fact, let's go to John chapter 20, and let's read a scripture in John 20, 12. And it says, "And he seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." So not only can you see them, but you can talk to them. So they have voices. They can hear you. And so if you're driving down the road, be careful what you say, because sitting snuggled right up under you may be a great big warring angel watching over you. He may even have your arm around you to protect you. So now, you want to make sure you're speaking the Word. Make sure you're not speaking any derogatory things or listening to the wrong kind of music or not telling any dirty jokes, or if you're doing any of those kind of things as a Christian, you'll provoke your angel and he'll leave you. He will not stay where that kind of trash is being expounded. They say, the Psalms 103 verse 20 says, they hearken unto the Word of God, spoken in the earth today. So how do they hearken to the Word of God? Who speaks the Word? We do. We speak the Word, and as we do, the angels hearken to it. Now then, do angels wear clothes? Isn't that amazing? Well, let's go to John 20:12, and let's look at that one more time. And she saw two white-robed angels sitting at the head and foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. These angels had white robes on. Now, all of them don't wear white robes, because I've seen a few of them, and the ones I saw didn't. If they'd have been in a white robe, everybody would have known who they were. So today, as a rule, when you see an angel, as a rule, they will be dressed in normal clothing. A lot of times, people I've seen that's seen those guys, they've been dressed in white. Many times I've had people, especially women, I don't know what it is about the angels that minister to women. Nearly every time the ladies that have told me stories, the angels have been in white suits. Isn't that amazing? But everyone I've ever seen has been in some kind of a normal clothes, just like I'm wearing tonight. But several times, just like Miss Mickey, when Miss Mickey, of course, when she ran out of gas on the freeway that day, and she pulled off and said, "Lord, help me." And, of course, that's amazing, isn't it? A white wrecker with a man with a white suit on pulls up, backs up, hooks onto your car, don't say a word to you. You don't even get out. This is strange. You said, "Lord, please help me. I don't want to get run over here on this off-ramp." And all of a sudden, here comes a wrecker, backs right up there, gets out, hooks onto your car, picks it up, pulls it down the street to the first gas station, pulls in, pulls right up in front of the pump, lets her down, waves at her, and gets in the truck and drives off. Never says a word. Not a word to her. Miss Mickey, she's about 83 or 84 years old today. And, you know, she's in my Sunday school class up here. She's told me that story several times. So many people, just like Camilla Slagle, her angel story is an awesome story. And again, it was during a rainstorm. And the rain, a tire had fell off of a truck and slid out on the road. And she didn't see it in time. She didn't quite get stopped in her little front wheel drive car, run up over that wheel. When she ran up over with a center, then the car front wheel drive, it wouldn't go nowhere. The wheels were turning, but it wouldn't pull. And so she cried out, "Lord, I got to have some help." Here she was on the road. A white truck pulls up behind her, stops. A guy gets out in a white suit, comes up beside her, and she starts to say something. He just does this. He goes around, picks up the car, reaches under and pulls a tire out from under there, picks the tire up, throws it off the side of the road, comes back and waves at her, and she said he does not have a spot of mud or dirt on him, nowhere, in a totally white suit. Goes, and she said, "But sir, I want to pay you." He goes and gets in his white truck, and she said, "I'm sitting there," and he just pulls around me and said, "That's a young man somewhere. I know he's got a wife and a family. I'm going to catch him and give him some money for helping me." So she said, "I followed him." Said, "I went down the road. He turned to the right, went off down, went up back up to a school. And said, I got him now." He pulled into that schoolyard, around to the back of the schoolyard. She said, the truck went around behind the school. And she said, no problem. She pulled in there. And no white truck. No outlets. Nowhere except where she comes. He drove all the way around that thing and right back. But no white truck. She said, that had to be an angel. Isn't that amazing how God sends these boys to help us out? They're here, so why do we fight this stuff? You know, let's enjoy it. Praise the Lord. They're here for you and for me. Then he says, angels are guards of gates in heaven, and they measure things. Let's go to Revelation 21:12. In Revelation 21:12, it says, its walls were broad and high, with 12 gates guarded by 12 angels. Isn't it amazing what all these guys do? In other words, they're not sitting around up there on a cloud, are they? They're busy. These gates are guarded by 12 angels, and the names of the 12 tribes of Israel were written on the gates. There were three gates on each side, the north, the south, the east, and the west, and the walls had 12 foundation stones, and on them were written the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angel held in his hand a golden measuring stick to measure the city and its gates and walls. Now the angel held in his hand a golden measuring stick. Just think. Here we use gold for rings and all kinds of things, and up there, just a simple little old measuring stick is made out of gold. They walk on gold. I mean, diamonds. I can only envision my wife and my daughter. I can only envision those two girls. They haven't even thought about dad and hubby. I mean, it ain't no way they've ever even given it a thought yet. They ain't been there long enough. You know, I can just see my daughter saying, "Mom, come over here. Look at this diamond in the foundation of my home. Look at this thing, Mama." And I can just see them up there enjoying with the Lord the things that He has prepared for those of us that love Him. So, you know, when you get a picture of this and you know what's going on and you know the war that's going on earth, then you can understand what Paul said when he said, "It's better, I'd rather go on and be with the Lord. But I know it's better that I stay with you for a little while. So I will stay a little while." But I can only imagine, you know, when you get a picture of what's going on, you don't sweat nothing. You don't have no fears. You know who's in control. You know God's in control. You begin to understand what He said you can do and who you are. And you have no fear of no kind to nothing. You're not afraid of nothing. I mean, I think about that day that years ago, right over here, there was a lady lived off out here not too far from here. And she visited the First Baptist Church. And so, I can't think of the man's name now. Anyway, one of the men that used to be here a long time ago, I told him, I said, "Let's go visit some people this afternoon." He said, "Good, I'd love to go with you." So we went up and took up a few names, and hers was one of them. And she was obviously a single woman. So we drove out to found her place Sunday afternoon to talk to her about the church. And when we walked up there, we saw her out in the backyard out there in a flower box, and she was evidently doing something with her flowers. I told her, Woody Brayton. I said, "Woody, let's just go ahead and walk through the gate and walk around there." So we just walked up, parked, and walked up and opened the front gate and closed it. And, of course, a big, nice fenced yard all around her home. So we walked around, and we started around the house, and we did. Here come three great big German shepherds roaring around the edge of the house. They'd been around here with her, and they heard us open that gate, and we were already in the yard, and they come around, and they was not friendly-looking critters. They was barking and her teeth was showing. I just turned and said, "In the name of Jesus, stop." And every one of them dogs stopped dead still. I mean, not a one of them, you know. I mean, they just stopped dead. I said, "You boys lay down there and behave yourself." And so we just turned and walked right on around. We walked around and I walked up and she's standing in her flower box. I got about this close to her and I said, "Good evening, ma'am." And she jumped like this and she turned around. She said, "I saw you at church this morning." I said, "Yes, ma'am. We come to visit you about the church." She said, "How did you get in this yard?" I said, "Ma'am, the gate wasn't locked. I just opened the little handle and walked in." Well, she said, "I know, but by dogs." I said, "Oh, I left him in the front yard." She said, "Nobody gets in this yard." I said, "Oh, yeah, I get in this yard. I have authority and dominion over those dogs." But see, she didn't understand that. She was not living where I lived. So she hollered at the dogs, and they come running around there. And she said, "I just wondered if they was really there." I said, "Oh, yeah, they were there." I said, "But I told them to sit down in the front yard." And I said, "That's where they were." And so she said, "Nobody is able to control those dogs like that." And I said, "Oh, yeah, some of us can." Anyway, who was it that was there with me to make them dogs behave when I spoke in the name of Jesus? The angels. Sure, the angels were there. And so, as we stood and talked to her and started back to the front, of course, I just technically forgot about the dogs. There was two males and one female. I was not paying any attention to the dogs. I just took my eyes completely off of them. They're around her. We're standing beside her, walking and talking with her. So usually dogs are okay, you know, especially with their master right there. They don't sense any danger or anything. But the difference is that demon and that female dog, he knew who I was, and she didn't like it, or the devil didn't like it, because I was not watching, and I was talking to her about church, and all of a sudden, that female dog turned on me and jumped and bit me right there. And just as soon as I heard her say, "Whoa," I turned to see, just as I looked, she bit me right on the top of the leg, and I slapped at her, and I said, "Get out of here in the name of Jesus." And boy, when she left, she ripped the whole front of my suit off. She tore it wide open. That lady said, "I can't believe she did that." I said, "Well, I understand completely and totally what was going on. But she couldn't believe what was going on. She didn't know that dog had a demon. And that demon knew who I was, and he didn't like it. And so he tried to bite me. And he did, but he didn't break the skin. But then she said, I'll buy you a new suit. I said, don't worry about it. That's all right. The Lord provides. I said, don't sweat it. So anyway, we walked out and got in the car and left. And Woody said, Thurman, I'm telling you, that's just like the devil. He said, you took your eyes off of them dogs. He said, you walked in that yard and commanded them dogs to stop, and every one of them sat right down. He said, you took your eyes off of them just for a minute in the backyard when you were talking to that lady, and that beast bit you. I said, yep, that's exactly where the devil works. You got to watch him 24/7, don't you? You can't take your eyes off of that beast, because if you do, he's going to bite you. Now then, angels wage war in heaven. In Revelation 12, and there was war in heaven. Revelation 12:7, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now then, just think where that wicked beast with his angels are today on the earth. It was cast out to the earth. He literally came and deceived Adam and Eve and became the god of this world. Since he's the god of this world, and he's going to be bound to this world, when this world burns up, guess what's going to happen to the devil? He's going to be burned up too. You know, during the millennium, when the Lord comes back, which I don't believe will be too far into the future, but who knows, it may be a long time, it may not be, only he knows. But when he comes back, stop and think about what Isaiah said and many other places we've read in the scriptures, that during the time that the devil is locked up, the earth, there will be no death, there will be no sickness, there will be no disease, there will be no killing, no destroying, there will be no wars, there will be, the people will beat their swords into plowshares to plow the ground with. There will be no evil, no sickness, no disease, no hospitals, no police departments. You won't need no locks on your doors, nothing. And there's only one difference on the earth. What is it? No devil. No devil. When people say, but we have a fallen nature, where do you think that nature come from, and who put that nature in you? The devil. Now, before we got our fallen nature, there was no death, no sickness, no disease. So the reason that we die today and have all of these bad things happen, as I've said on many of my tapes over the years, the human heart alone is not capable of the wicked things that happens on this earth. The human heart can't conceive those things. Only the devil in you can do that. He can put thoughts in your mind, and I guarantee when you look at this picture of what the earth is undergoing right now, and the devastation, the stealing, the killing, and the destruction, and then you see the time when the Lord comes again, and for 1,000 years there will be no death, no destruction, no stealing, no killing, none of those things for 1,000 years. And people will say, well, but you know, the difference is that Jesus will be here then. Hey, Jesus is here today. He's in you and me. I brought him with me tonight. And if you come and you're a Christian, you brought him in you. So we got the Spirit of God in us, but yet there's stealing, killing, and destruction going on all over. No, there will be only one difference in the millennium. In the millennium, there will be no devil. Satan and his demons will be locked up, so we will not have the influence of the demonic world. And then you think, what happens during 1,000 years of a beautiful reign with the Lord, with no sickness, no disease, no wars, no destruction, no killing, no death, and then the Lord turns the devil loose for a little short season again, and what's the first thing happens? Same thing. Stealing, killing, destruction, war, everything right back where we started. So as long as the devil's here, he's the one that's causing all of these things. Now then, today, praise God, you and I that are Christians, when we get a hold of this stuff, we don't have to yield to none of those things ourselves. We do not have to yield to sin no more as Christians. We do not have to yield to sickness and disease. I realize under the law of faith, this is something that so many people never get a hold of in their life. We are so deceived. When it said the devil deceived how many in the world? All of us. He deceived all of us. Well, when you begin to get a hold of who you are, and when you begin to get a hold of what this book says, you realize you don't have to yield to him no more, do you, Don? You don't have to yield to sickness and disease. You don't have to yield to death. He'll come and he's trying to get you to agree with him so he can take you out prematurely. But you don't have to agree. You do not have to be sick. You do not have to be weak. You can be strong. You can walk holy before God. You don't have to live a sinful life. You don't have to have a divorce. You don't have to do none of those things. You have the power within you totally and completely to overcome all the forces of darkness and all evil. But you'll have to hide the word in your heart. And then when the devil comes, you'll have to capture every thought that comes to your mind. And you'll have to think about it and act on it before you put your mouth in gear. Because the devil will grab you at the point when you're the weakest. And he'll put a thought in your mind when you're weak. And I mean, he'll capitalize on your weakness. He'll break you down somehow. And with some people, he'll get them to try drugs one time. Alcohol. Or a cigarette, or anything, pornography. He'll get them to look at anything or try anything. And then he'll begin to work on your mind, and first thing you know, you think you're captivated by that, and you cannot stop it. Oh, yes, you can. You can take the power of God, and you can change anything. All you got to do is believe the word. You have the power in you, if you want to never smoke another cigarette. You have the power within you to never take another drug. You don't have to take medicine. None of these things. I think about Michael down at church on Sunday. Had a liver transplant 5 years ago, and the doctors told him liver transplants only last about 5 years. So you can get prepared to have another one. So guess what he's trying to put into him? I mean, you talk about an expensive thing to go to the doctor and let them transplant a liver and put another one in you. And Michael was on $1,500 a month worth of medication. For 5 years he'd been taking that. Him and his insurance are paying for it. And a lot of things he didn't know. I mean, although he's going to a great, big, beautiful church over there in North Dallas, he was not taught these things. But when him and his lovely wife began to come over to where our church is, and I began to teach him these things, he got a hold of these things and began to act on these things. And one day he made a decision. The doctor said, you lay down that medication, don't take it for a week, you'll die. One day he said, I'm this word, it's got things in it I didn't know. He said, I'm going to trust God. He laid down his medication. He told us the other night, 6 weeks he's not had a single drop of medication. He said, I've never felt better in my life. And y'all heard him say that, didn't you? Isn't that amazing? What can you do if you're a child of God and you believe the word? You can do anything. You can overcome the power of the devil. I mean, the doctor can tell you, Daddy ain't going home to the hospital. And you can say, oh, no. Yeah, five doctors said, your daddy ain't going home to the hospital. He said, oh, you guys must not know my Jesus. And she fought her battle, and today her daddy's back at work. Isn't that awesome? And driving. But you fought the battle, didn't you, Cheryl? And I had to help you a little. I mean, we had to fight that together, boy. She got down at her. She called two or three times and said, Thurman, I'm fighting this battle, but I got to have a little help. So I said, we'll join together. I mean, that's what we're supposed to be for, right? We praise the Lord. We now realize it's not, Cheryl, we're not trying to persuade God to do something he's reluctant to do. We're taking away from that devil that's already been given to us, right? And when you get a hold of that, you don't ask God to heal him no more. You drive the devil out and thank the Lord for his promises. And you don't have to be sick no more. Now then, if you were praying those kind of, if it be thy will, Cheryl would have lost her daddy. But she didn't ever pray one of those. She knew what his will was. And so she fought the battle and won it. Praise the Lord. So these angels, they wage war. They do all kinds of things. Now let's see angels execute judgment. Let's think about that. In 2 Chronicles 32, verse 21. 2 Chronicles 32, 21. And the Lord sent an angel which cut off all the mighty men of Valor and the leaders and the captains in the camp of the king of Assyria. So he returned with shame of face to his own land, and when he was come into the house of his God, they that came forth of his own bowels, which is his own children, slew him there with the sword. And 2 Chronicles 32:21, and the Lord sent an angel which cut off all the mighty men. They execute judgment. When God sends these angels, I mean, he sends them and they do awesome things. They can do awesome things. And Psalm 78:49. I'm going to read this to you in the Living Bible. In Psalm 78:49, he said, he loosed on them the fierceness of his anger, sending sorrow and trouble. He dispatched against them a band of destroying angels. Psalm 78:49. Wow. You don't want to get on, you don't want to tick him off, do you? No, you don't want to tick God off at all. I mean, if these people made him mad and he sent a band of destroying angels to wipe them out, you want to serve him and love him and praise him, right? Don't want to make him mad. Absolutely not. Wow, Psalm 78:49. Well, Matthew 13:41. Let's see what that says. Matthew 13:41 says, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity. So in the kingdom of heaven, which is on the earth, which we are in, and we're parts of the kingdom of heaven, as we're here in the kingdom of heaven, because the kingdom of heaven has come to earth and it's in us. So the Son of Man will send forth his angels, and these angels will come forth, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity or sin. So you don't want to be one of those either, do you? Because he's going to pluck you out. And those angels are going to reach down and pick up those people that's living in sin, and he's going to do something with them. They're going to execute judgment. So I suggest that we walk holy before the Lord. It pays really good dividends. But it's just like being in a household with Dad. As long as you do what Dad says, you never broke his rules. You never got the razor strap on your backside, right? I don't know about y'all, but there's a few times I didn't do exactly what Dad said when I was a little, and it didn't take very many times for me to learn, hey, it's a whole lot better to do what he says than not do what he says. I didn't get very many spankings because I changed, and that's like Tim. I started out with Tim and Amanda very young when they were little. In fact, by the time Tim was about 12 or 13, he told me one day, he said, Dad, I've not had a spanking in a long time. I said, well, son, you've been a good boy. Do you just want me to get the belt out and beat on you? He said, no, no, no. I said, okay, I didn't think so. So I said, you learned your lesson. Yep, learned his lesson, you know, when he was little. Now, you don't want to wait. You don't want to wait till he gets to be 210 pounds and he's 5'10" or 11 or 6 foot. You don't, and he can pick up 385 pounds. You don't want to wait till he gets there to start trying to reprimand him. I think about what Dr. James Dawson says. He said, mothers, there's one place you can get your boys till they're big. And he said, it's that little thing right here on their shoulder, right here. And the mother says, well, sir, how big should they be before I shouldn't get them there? He said, if you can't reach it, he said, don't reach, don't get them. But if you can still reach it, he said, you put them on their knees. I thought that's pretty good. Mama, if you can reach it, reach up and get him. But if you don't do what you say, reach up there and pinch the fool out of him. Boy, that'll just put him down on his knees. So, but you hope by this time when he gets that big, you've already raised him where he should be and you don't have to do that anymore. You hope the boy will be in the right place. Now then, angels minister to saints. Let's look at what Daniel chapter 6, verse 22 says. Daniel 6:22, it says, my God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Now, wait a minute. There's a real good message in those verses. Number one, he was innocent. Daniel was innocent. He was not a guilty critter. He had not done anything wrong in the sight of God. And he says, King, I have done no harm to you either, or to your kingdom. So since Daniel had done nothing wrong, had broken no spiritual laws or no physical laws, what kind of legal right did the enemy have to him? None. And so by having none, whenever the people threw him in the lion's den, what did the Lord send to shut the mouths of those lions? Angels, those big boys. You think an angel can reach in there, just grab the snout of that lion and just pull him down, and he can do whatever, right? You don't have to be afraid. I can just see Daniel now when they dropped him down in there. He said, I have no fear. I've not done anything wrong. I can just see them big old lions run up beside him, and boy, I can just see one of them angels reach over there and touch him in the side, and that lion said, maybe I better be good to Daniel. Real good. So I can just see them lions coming up and laying down, and Daniel laying down and fluffing one of them big old mama lions' belly up for a pillow, you know. Just fluffing the hair up on her belly. Say, you, this would be a good place to lay my head and sleep tonight.
Keep me warm.
Keep me warm. Yeah, that's right. Because he had no fear, because he was innocent. He was innocent. He did no harm to nobody. The devil had no legal right to him. But how many of you know what happened the next morning when they came and took Daniel out? When they took Daniel out, and then the man that had cheated and lied and had him put in there, they put him and his wife and his children in there. And what does the word say happened as they hit the ground? The lions crushed them and tore them apart. They were guilty, weren't they? That wouldn't be exactly a good way to have your last day, would it? Seeing one of them great big monsters come up to grab you right in the head or crush your head or something like that. But if you're guilty before God and you've done bad things, hey, that's the judgment that passes on you. How come the angels didn't protect them? Because they were guilty. They had not done what they were supposed to be doing. Now then, so angels ministered to the saints. How many of you would like to have an angel minister to you? Hey, me too. I want them to be there to take care of me, to watch over me and protect me. So now then, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 11, I want you to look at this. In Matthew 4, 11, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Now then, when Jesus was out in the wilderness fasting and praying for 40 days, he was put to the test. As he was put to the test in Matthew 4, the devil came to him, and if the devil came to Jesus three times and tested him three times, you can be assured he's going to do the same thing to you and me. So we need to be prepared with the Word just like Jesus was. By Jesus being prepared with the Word, he was able to defeat the enemy. The devil couldn't touch him. So it was a great, great blessing that he got there. And after the devil left him, the angels came and ministered unto him. Now then, God's angels win at everything they do. God's angels. Isn't that amazing? Let's go to Daniel 10, verse 13, and let's look at this. This is a great story in Daniel 10, 13. It says in Daniel 10, 13, but for 21 days the mighty evil spirit, this is a living Bible now I'm reading out of, but for 21 days the mighty evil spirit who overrules the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the top officials of the heavenly army, came to help me so that I was able to break through these spirit rulers of Persia. Isn't that amazing? Now see, here is your spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies. Between here, our first heaven, and the third heaven, there's a second heaven. And that second heaven is full of billions and trillions of evil fallen angels and wicked spirits. These things are there. And they're there out there with one thing in mind, and that is to shorten your life and to destroy your soul on this earth. That is the goal of the devil. He is here to destroy anything that's made in the image of God. So that's what he's trying to do. So when Daniel prayed and asked God for that revelation that he needed about what's going to happen to the nation of Israel in the end times, the Lord literally, in the scriptures you read on, you'll find out that the Lord immediately sent the angel for his answer. So when you pray and ask God for something, if you're walking in obedience to His Word, how long does it take Him to hear your prayer? Instantly, just like that, just like right here. There's no distance in the spirit world. So whenever I'm speaking to you or to you and you're hearing my voice right now, if I'm praying and asking God to do something, He is right there with us and He's hearing that same prayer right there. And of course, to answer that for Daniel, He sent a spirit being. For you and I today, we have a privilege that Daniel didn't have. And you know what that is? We have the Holy Ghost in us. He can communicate with you and me directly. He doesn't have to send an angel. He can talk to us directly. So whenever He speaks to you, get tuned in to where you can hear God's voice. He will speak to you. He'll speak to you out of the Word. He'll speak to you in your spirit. And if you'll spend the time with Him, He'll speak to you in an authoritative or audible voice. You'll get to hear that. And I didn't realize how many people had heard that. As I started asking those questions, I have now realized, like that deal the other day when that pastor up there in Delaware, he asked me on the way to Thurman, I've never heard anybody say they've ever heard God's voice audibly, but yet you say you've heard it many times. I said, sure. He said, well, I've never heard it. Well, that Wednesday night, that was Wednesday when he picked me up at the airplane. We drove an hour and a half up to Delaware from Baltimore. And that night while I was teaching in this home with about 30 or 40 men and women, I asked the question, has anybody in here ever heard the audible or authoritative voice of God? And it was three or four people in his congregation, I mean, just his deacons and elders, shot their hand right up. Yes, I've heard it. He said, what? You've heard it? You never told me? Well, we've never talked about this, so why should we talk about it? But it's awesome to hear their stories as to the way the Lord had led them. But we today are not led by angels. We're led by the Spirit because we're children of God and His Holy Spirit is in all of us. So He can communicate directly to us by His Spirit. So we don't need these angels to talk to us, but it is wonderful when one of them does come and talk to us. I love to hear one of them talk to me. It's awesome. But I also really love it when I hear the King speak to me in my spirit. But I really love it when He speaks to me audibly. I really love that. I've heard that so many wonderful times. It's just so awesome to hear God talk to you. Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12 verse 1 says, at that time Michael, the mighty angelic prince, who stands guard over your nation, will stand up and fight for you in heaven against satanic forces. And there will be a time of anguish for the Jews greater than any previous suffering in Jewish history. And yet every one of your people whose names are written in the book will endure it. Now that, of course, that's a living Bible. That doesn't read exactly like the King James. But when I read that in both the King James and the living Bible, I thought, boy, that is so clear, talking about those angels in Revelations 12:1, about what Michael and his mighty angels and about what they can do. Now then, angels can strengthen you in trials. Isn't that amazing? They have awesome power. In Matthew 4:11, it says, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. So these angels can come and minister to you. They can give you strength. We read earlier where the angels came and prepared a meal, two meals with food and water for the prophet to drink, and then he was able to march and go for 40 days and nights without anything else to eat. So boy, that must have been a great meal. It really hung on there. You know, so angel food's pretty good stuff, isn't it? It's pretty good stuff. Now then, in Luke chapter 22, let's look at another place here where these angels can strengthen you in trials. In Luke 22:43, it says, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. There appeared an angel. An angel appeared unto him. So don't be surprised if an angel appears to you. Don't be surprised. Start looking for them. You know, believe that they're here. These angels are here. You know, we need to expect to see these things. You know, if you were to get to where you expect them, you can't ever tell. Someday you might be sitting there in your home and you say, Lord, I want to thank you for all of these big, beautiful angels that are sitting around the room. You guys, I want to tell you how much I appreciate y'all. And just start worshiping the Lord and speaking these wonderful things. And then if one or two of them were to manifest in your room, don't get excited. Don't get excited. See, if they know that you know that they're there and you're talking to them, you might be surprised. You might be sitting there and all of a sudden you might be talking and saying, say, Lord, thank you for this great big warring angel you got right here. And all of a sudden, standing right here with these arms crossed, with this shield and all this stuff, you're standing here, all of a sudden, you say, hi. What would that do to you? Huh? But they're there. It would shock you, wouldn't it? But don't let it. You know, realize these guys are here. God sent them to watch over you and protect you and to take care of you. So when you step into fear, if you step into fear and you're not speaking the word of God, they leave you. You provoke them. So realize they're there. Start talking to them, telling them how much you appreciate them, and say some things. I mean, it's amazing what I've seen angels do. They do awesome things. I mean, awesome things. So, if God's no respecter of persons, if you'll believe in them and call upon Him to give you these angels and then give them a charge of some kind to do something for you, if they've done it for me and done it for me and Dave, what are they going to do for you? They'll do the same thing. If you ever get off somewhere and you ever were to feel frightened or you were out somewhere by yourself at night, you just turn and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, take me three or four of my great big warring angels and let these guys walk along and protect me. Lord, thank you. I can walk right through the pit of hell now, right now. No problem, because I got these boys here. They're here. I'm walking holy before you. You said you'll send your angels to watch over me and protect me so that no evil can befall me. So thank you, Lord. And those guys say, whoa, that girl knows the word. We better watch her close. Take good care of her. She's quoting the word. We're supposed to hearken to the word of God spoken in the earth today. So as you speak the word, they won't, they'll lose. Do you have a question, Brenda?
I have an angel story.
Oh, you have an angel story?
Me too. Is it going to be time?
Yes. Here we got a few minutes. Yeah.
2 years ago at Christmas time, I had an for decoration on my table. It was a special wind-up. It's Hark the Herald Angel. It would play Hark the Herald Angel Sing Glory to God, you know. Mm-hmm. And I would play it over and over, and I'd go through the house just singing that. I just loved it. And one day I went to Walmart. I was very short on time. A lot of things had happened in the spirit realm. I was fighting warfare, and I was feeling rather down. And I had, this was the last shopping trip I had, you know. I had all, one basket was clear full of groceries. The other basket was full of presents. And so I had waited in line a long time, and it was just a terrible time, and it was supposed to be a happy time. But the only thing that I enjoyed was always playing that little Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and it had angels on top. And so I paid for everything, and she said she'd get someone to help me. And I mean, these buggies were loaded down. They had like 500 pounds in each one, I think. And so she finally called, and I waited and waited, and no one came. And it was just packed, and I thought, you know, it's lunchtime. There's just not going to be anyone. So I started dragging one and pushing the other one, and I got to the door, and I heard someone behind me say, may I help you? And I'm a very cautious person, and I understand the things that are going on out in the world. And normally I would turn around and say, thank you. I did turn around. I said, thank you, no, I have it. But I didn't really look at the person. I just said, no, thank you. And the person said, I would like to help you. But there was something about the voice that was different. And I turned around and I looked, and it was a man, and he was about Dan's height. And as a matter of fact, his hair was kind of the color of Dan's. But he didn't have on white clothes, but there was something about the eyes. And I just saw the eyes, and they didn't hypnotize me, but they did something to me. And so I said, okay. And I just turned back around. I never once turned around and see if he still had my buggy. You know, I was headed for the car. I just knew I had a peace about me. So I got to the car, and I turned to him, and I shook his hand, and I said, there's apples and bananas, and could I give you, you know, some fruit or some of this stuff? And he said, no, ma'am. And he just said, I just wanted to help. He said that three times to me. I just wanted to help you. And so I said, well, thank you. You did help. And he, as he turned around and went, I looked at, and he didn't have any packages. He didn't have anything. And I got in the car, but I was in a real big hurry, and I really didn't think any more about it. And I got home, and I started unloading, and I thought, that was weird. That was different. It was strange. Well, during the night, that night, I really didn't think any more about it at all. And in the middle of the night, real loud, that little thing started playing, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. I sat up in bed, and I went, what is that? And I jumped up out of bed, and I thought, that is that. That was an angel today. And that was a confirmation to me that it was an angel. So I said to Dan, did you hear that? The next morning, I said, hear what? And I said, did you hear that this thing played in the middle of the night? He said, I didn't hear anything, but I know that that was an angel.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You said you had one too, brother?
Yeah. I'm going to make it short as I can. You know, I was a professional thief from the time I was about 12 years old. Until I was about 50. And I committed an armed robbery one night. I had a guy driving the car for me, and I went in. I robbed whiskey stores, every now and then a bank, but not many banks. Whiskey stores and finance companies. And I went in this whiskey store and robbed it, and I had the guy waiting for me in the car outside. When I went out, while I was in there, Black and White came by, and he pulled off and left me. And I went out, and I didn't have no ride. I had two bags of money, my gun, and I went into the woods. It's about 10 o'clock at night, and I walked all night. And the next morning, I don't know how far it was away from the town, but I knew I had to find a phone. As it's getting daylight, I laid down in the weeds about this high. Across the street from where I was at, there was new houses all around, but there was nothing on this side. And I laid down in these weeds, and I woke up, and I saw a lady coming walking her little dog up the sidewalk. And he's coming straight to me. And as he got right up to my nose, he said, woo! And I stood up, and an old woman like to have a fit. She said, wow! And she turned around and heard the dog went across the street and disappeared. Now, I knew that the police were going to come and find me then. And there was no word, no phones around, or nothing. And I walked about a mile and a half, to a man's house, and I knocked on the door, and I said, my car's broke down. Could you let me call somebody here? He said, oh, sure, come on in. I went in, and I called this friend of mine in Miami, and he was on his way. I got out, and I called a taxi cab. I called a cab before I got out. And just as I get in the taxi cab, patrol car come up, and two guys jumped out with guns pointed at me. Get out! And I got out, and this young man was about 28 years old, and he had a brand new Smith & Wesson 41 Magnum. And as he pointed the gun at me, I saw his finger starting to tighten up on the trigger. And I knew he was going to shoot me. And all of a sudden, there was a guy behind him. I didn't know where he come from or what he was. He was a great big guy. And he had white clothes. And he reached over this guy's shoulder and kind of in front of him and put his hand over the policeman's gun and his hand and pushed it down. And I said, oh, you got a new 41 Magnum. He said, yeah, that's right. And they go ahead and took me to jail, and about 3 weeks later, him and some other officers was coming through. I said, hey, you remember me? He said, yeah, I'm glad I seen you. I got to tell you something. He said, I was going to shoot you the other morning. I said, I know. He said, I started pulling the trigger, and suddenly I couldn't pull the trigger. And he said, my hand started going down. And he said, I could not do anything. And you and I started talking then, and the other officer brought me onto the jail. And it was my angel. I have my own personal angel. I give him a name. His name is Leroy, and he saved my life so many times. And I wasn't a Christian then, but I knew he was something different. I'm telling you, when he put his hand on that officer's gun and hand, it just went down together.
You could see him.
Yeah.
But that boy couldn't see him.
And he said, you know, I was going to shoot you. He said, but I couldn't pull a trigger, and my hand started going down. I don't know what was wrong, and I didn't tell him. And I've seen, as you tell another story, I'll tell you some more things that Lee Boy done for me.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. The thing about it is we have these angels and we don't understand what God's plan is for so many of us on this earth, but he has a plan. And he's going to do everything he can to help us get to that plan and do what he plans for us to do. It is so amazing how he has watched over us and protected us. Now then, Acts chapter 10, verse 3, angels will lead lost people to God's workers. That's amazing how they'll do that. Angels will lead lost people to God's workers. Now in Acts 10:3, we'll see here, says he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, your prayers and your alms are come up for a memorial before God. Ooh, that's something, isn't it? Your prayers and your giving has come up before your alms. That's what that means. So do you think God keeps record of what you give? Yes, he does. But your prayers... Now, this guy was a lost man. This guy's lost. He doesn't even know Jesus. So he's a lost man, but his prayers and his alms or his giving are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon whose surname is Peter. Isn't that amazing? What the Lord had seen. Here was a lost man, but because of his prayers and his giving to the kingdom of God, the Lord had sent an angel to bring him in and save him. And then angels, they direct men of God. Let's see how these angels direct men of God. In Acts chapter 8, verse 26, and it says, and the angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. He was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And he said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Now, what had his angel done? Wow, he had talked to Philip. He had told him where to go, what roads to take, who to talk to when he got there, and everything. Now, then just think. If God would do that to his men back in those days that would seek him and be obedient to walk with him, what will he do to us today, his children, if we would just seek him and be obedient? Say, Lord, here am I, send me. I want to do something good for you this year. Like I told Wendell the other day, I said, Wendell, remind me next year before the New Year's comes up, remind me not to stand over my table the 26th of December and tell God that I'm tired of playing church. I want to do something big for the kingdom of God. I made that statement last year, Cheryl, and he's blown my socks off. You talk about keeping me busy. I mean, he said, oh, you want to do something for my kingdom, son? Well, then I'll use you. And he's using me and a lot of other people to help me, and I'm so grateful because he's keeping us all busy. I'll tell you for sure. But praise the Lord. It's a wonderful thing to do. But the Lord will do that. In Acts 27:23, says, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not. Now, say, technically there, Brenda, there's our angels. Whenever they say something, we should not have any fear in our hearts. We should realize that as sons of God, you don't have to fear anything. When you're like the little lady that was in the parking lot, whenever that, I can't think of that guy's name now, that abducted her back in about 85 or 83, whenever it was, down on a Kmart parking lot or Walmart, whatever it was in San Antonio. He was the number one murder and rapist in the United States of America. And when he got abducted, that woman stuck a gun in her back, told her to get in the car, scoot across there, and sat down. And if she made a sound or moved, put her hands under her thighs, and if she moved, he'd kill her. And she got in the car, he got in, and slid into the steering wheel with her keys, and she reached over and put her hand on his shoulder, and she said, "Mister, I'm in charge here, not you, in the name of Jesus." That took a woman of guts. That took a woman that knew who she was, didn't it? That woman had the entire book of Ephesians committed to memory. The entire book. And so that man that had just said, "I'll kill you if you make a move or say a word," turned and looked over at her and said, "Woman, I ain't never seen nobody like you." That's right. He had never seen a woman of God that knew who she was and knew her authority. And she was exercising that authority. And before that day was over, that little woman got that man to turn in his gun to her, and she not only got him to do that, but she led him to Christ and got that guy saved. She got him delivered. And that is one of the most powerful testimonies I've ever heard on Dr. James Dodson's program. But it was a great one. And I have that tape somewhere at home. If I find it, I'm going to make some copies and bring it out to church and leave them, because people need to hear that testimony. That woman, what you can do, man or woman. But that woman didn't step into fear. Now, what do you think all them other women did? Some of them had to be Christian women that he had killed and he had murdered, that he had raped and murdered. Some of those women had to be daughters of the king, but they didn't know who they were. But he ran into one this time and knew who she was. "I'm in charge here, not you, in the name of Jesus." Wow. What a woman, huh? Could you do that? You could do that. Yes, you could do that. Yes, you could do that. Don't you tell me you can't do that. You know you could do that. In the name of Jesus. Now then, Acts 27:23 says, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar and to God, and lo, God has given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." Now here he was out there in the middle of a storm, all these days of being whipped up, and of course guess who that storm came from? The devil. 14 days they was out there, and not one time did Paul rebuke that thing and command it to stop, because he didn't know. He didn't have that revelation. I don't care if he did write half of the New Testament, he still didn't have that revelation. You see what a privilege we have today to have the entire Word of God? I mean, we have the privilege to have more revelation from God's Word than any race of people that's ever lived. I mean, it's just amazing what we have. Now, angels appear in dreams. You ever think about that? Your angel can appear to you in a dream. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. It says, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thy son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Now then, angels can speak to you in dreams. If God's angels can speak to you in dreams, guess what the devil's angels can do? They can do the same thing. When you start having nightmares, I think about that precious little guy down there at Cook's Medical Center when Caitlin was down there that had been shot in the back. His mother had opened the door by sexual immorality with a boy, and that had allowed the devil to come in to kill the little boy. Well, he almost did it, but after I got her to repent, then I went in and kicked the devil out, laid hands on the boy for his healing, and the Lord healed him, but the devil didn't stop tormenting him. A week later, when this boy had recovered so rapidly, he's upstairs at the fourth floor. The mother came to me and said, "Sir, would you come up and talk to my son?" I said, "What's wrong?" She said, "He's having nightmares." I said, "Okay." So I went up there and I sat down. He was just trembling. He was so afraid. I said, "Son, are you a born-again Christian?" He said, "Yes, sir. I know Jesus." I said, "How old are you?" He said, 7. "Today's my birthday." I said, "Good. As a born-again Christian, we don't have to put up with these beasts." I said, "Your mama had opened a door through her sin and allowed the enemy to almost kill you. But she's repented." I said, "Now then, the devil has no more legal claim to you." So I stood right over him. I said, "Satan, I command you and every evil spirit that's in this room to torment this little boy. You leave him and go to the pit of hell and don't you ever come back." I said, "Now, Father, send me 2 angels." I said, "Father, send one of them right there and one of them right there." I said, "You 2 boys, you have to be subject to me in the name of Jesus." I said, "You 2 boys, watch over this boy. And you keep every devil of hell out of this room. And you don't let a single demon come to him in a dream or anything anymore in the name of Jesus." Amen. I said, "Now you won't have no more bad dreams." A week later, I saw that grandmother downstairs. I mean, it's amazing what women do to you when you've never seen them before. I mean, that woman saw me in that room. That grandmother saw me standing over there getting some stuff fixed to eat. She hollered, "Thurman, I've got to talk to you." I said, "Yes, ma'am." I stood up. She come running over there and she attacked me. Put her arms around me and kissed me on the cheek. I thought, I don't have any idea what anybody's thinking, but that's okay. It don't make no difference. I said, what's the Lord done good for your baby?" She said, "That boy's not had a single bad dream since you were in our room the other night." She said, "I'm telling you, I'm so grateful to know a man that walks with God, and when he speaks in the name of the Lord, things happen." Amen. Her baby was going to die. Then she saw him get well. Then he was tormented. They didn't know what to do. Well, guess why they didn't know what to do? They had not spent enough time with the King and the Word to get the revelation. So that lady was grateful. And I think about how grateful she was. And then, of course, today when I come out, here's Cheryl out there with her work clothes on, helping Wendell make tapes all day. I'm grateful. You know, she's grateful, though. And that's why she came to help me, because of what the Lord has done for her. But just think, if we just work together in the kingdom, what will God do for all of us? See, we're all in this together, right? We're all in it together. And God's given me this wonderful revelation to help you all out to make your lives better. And I'm grateful for that. So, angels appear in dreams. Angels protect the believers. Now, in Psalms 34, verse 7, it says, "And the angel of the Lord encamped around about them that fear him and delivers them." Amen. Psalms 34, 7. "The angel of the Lord encamps around about them that fear him," or God, "and deliver them." You know what this reminds me of? Back when I used to watch the old westerns when they're going across the country. And all of a sudden the Indians attacked. They go into a big circle. The wagon trains go into a big circle, and everybody and all the livestock and everything gets in the middle. And with everything in the middle, then they got an open front to everybody that comes against them. And they found out real quick that if they stayed in one straight long line, the Indians would run off all the cattle, all the extra horses, and they'd run down those hills and kill a lot of the men and women. But if they'd come into a great big circle right quick and all get in there and keep everything in there, the Indians had to fight from one side only. And so fighting from one side, they could shoot out and they had a whole lot better chance of protecting themselves and their families. But these angels encamp around about us. And I can think about one of my cousins when her daughter was going to a school up here. They had a special Christian school up here. So close to Greenville somewhere. I don't remember where it was, but somewhere up here. She was telling me one time when I was there, said while my daughter was there, one night there was all girls camp. And said one night there was a bunch of boys came out from town, and they were out there all out front, and they was hollering bad things and everything at the girls because they knew these cabins were full of nothing but a bunch of girls. And even the sponsors and everything, I don't think there was a single man out there at all. And so a bunch of ladies and a bunch of young girls, 14, 15, 16 years old, 13, 14. And all of a sudden, these girls, of course, they were really scared. And all of a sudden, one of them goes over to the window and looks out, and these boys are jumping in their cars and speeding off. She says, "Come look." And they came into the window and looked, and there was a whole line of big, beautiful, magnificent beings standing out there all around that Christian camp. And those girls got to see those angels. And those boys saw those angels too. And when they saw them, they didn't have to, nobody tell them to leave. They was galled, I'll tell you for sure. God does so many wonderful things. Isn't that amazing? All the wonderful things He does. Don?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just going to make a statement, and I don't know where to find it. Maybe someone else does on the internet. But there's some incredible recorded historical writings about Israel during the Six-Day War.
Yeah.
And I wish I could find it. Yeah. About some of the things that happened there.
Oh, yeah. There is. Yeah. Oh, yeah. When you hear and think about the things that happened and how Israel won that war, and it was such a tiny little number of people, and the multitudes came against them, and they beat them every way, form, or fashion. It's amazing. It's kind of like the story that you hear whenever our guys went over to the Middle East the first time. When they went over there, I heard one of the chaplains talking here in Dallas after they came back. He said, "We were getting ready to go in." And he said, "All of a sudden, the most awesome sandstorm come up. You could not see your hand in front of your eyes." So he said, "We just had to withdraw." Said the sand blew for hours. I mean, just hours it blew. You could not see nothing. And he said, the strange thing about it was, the wind was from the opposite direction of what the normal prevailing winds were over there. They were blowing from the wrong direction. He said, they'd never seen those winds blow from that direction over there in that country. But he said, when the wind stopped blowing and we looked out, right where we were fixing to go in, there was mines, landmines laying everywhere. Thousands of them. The wind had blowed the sand off of the top of those. They had never been as much prayer for our boys as there was during that war. Amen. We had churches all over this country that come together to pray, and we pulled down the forces of darkness and won that war in 30 days because of prayer. Amen. It's awesome what we can do when we pray to our God. We move His hand. Amen. And as little faith as we got, we still, when enough of us come together, He hears us, doesn't He? Now that it says in Psalms 91:11, as we talk about angels protect the believer, and we read this already tonight, but in Psalms 91:11, "For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways." Isn't that wonderful? Amen. To think of what the Lord has provided for us in these magnificent beings of grandeur, and all we got to do is ask. And actually, we don't even have to ask if we walk holy before Him. When you walk holy before God in obedience to His Word, you don't even have to ask. He just sends those angels to protect you and watch over you and keep you from evil. Yes, Sherry?
I got an angel story.
You got an angel story? All right. Praise the King.
A few years ago, I went to an eschatology thing, you know, and it's talking about Jesus coming. And so we came home. Ladies group said, "Oh, we want y'all to come tell us what you learned." And we looked at each other and we were like, "Wow, there was so much. How can we tell them what we learned?" You know, it was like 4 days. And so we went to the meeting and we decided that we'd do it conversationally, that Beverly would say something, and then if it triggered a thought for me, I'd say something. So we would just kind of tell our story. So we're telling our story, and I remember saying, "Y'all, Jesus is coming soon," you know, and these ladies were all just getting excited. And I saw this lady looking really funny at us. And so after the meeting, the next day, that lady said that behind us were two tall, huge angels with wings. They were dressed in white with wings, and they were sort of circled around us. And she said, "Lord, what is that?" And he said, "It's heralding angels." He said, "They are heralding my soon return, and I've sent them there to protect them." We didn't even know we needed protecting, you know, but
wow.
Because we were talking to just ladies, believers.
Yeah.
But in the
in the heavenlies.
We needed protection.
That's right. Yeah. Wow. We always need protection in the heavenlies because the enemy is always coming against us. Praise the King.